Do you feel defeated and guilty? You don't have to. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Some of you are haunted by the ghost of guilt from something that you did last week, last month, last year, last summer, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, and the devil takes it and beats you up with that. Yeah, but look what you did. You did this, you did that, you did the other, and you're just beaten down with guilt, and there's no way, he says to you, there's no way God can forgive you for that. But that's a lie. And what we need to do is quit elevating our sin over God's Son.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
When it comes to your Christian life, do you experience more spiritual victories or more spiritual defeats? Do you find yourself suffering more agonies of defeat than thrills of victory? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today, he continues this important lesson entitled, Victory or Defeat, from the 8-message series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. You can live a life of victory. You really can. And Pastor Jeff will explain how today. Open your Bible to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, as Pastor Jeff helps us decide if we want to live in victory or defeat.
John chapter 8, Jesus is having an encounter with the Jews and with the Jewish leaders. And it says in verse 31, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? Jesus answered them saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now I want you to notice with me two truths from the verses that we read concerning victory. Truth number one, the Lord wants you to have eternal victory in heaven. He wants you to enter into his victory that would last for all eternity. He wants you to have a genuine relationship with him to experience true salvation. Now he says, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So what is a true disciple? Well, a true disciple is one who comes to Jesus on Jesus' terms. And, you know, we wonder sometimes in church, who's genuine and who's true? So how do you know if you're really true? Well, a true disciple, according to Jesus, continues in the Lord and obeys his word. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. That word abide means to remain. It means to continue. It means to stay. And the way you know that you're true is that you are abiding in the Lord and in his word, and you have a desire to obey him. Doesn't mean you obey him perfectly, because nobody does, but it means that desire is in your heart and it wasn't there before. Now, how do you know a false disciple? 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not of us. And so many people believe a lie. Why? Because they've been baptized, because they joined the church, because they give some money, because they come, you know, Christmas and Easter, maybe a few other times. They're a good person. They try to not hurt people. Those things are wonderful, but that doesn't get you to heaven. You have to come the Lord's way, poor in spirit, understanding you're bankrupt, you can't do anything to save you, and Jesus is the only one who can save you, and he is the great I am. Now, second truth. The Lord wants you not only to have eternal victory in heaven, but he wants you to have daily victory on earth. Now, this is what kind of the rubber meets the road for the Christians in this audience, those under the sound of my voice. You say, you know, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus, and there has been a change in my heart, and I believe I am a true disciple and not a false disciple, but I'm struggling with sin. And Romans chapter 6, Paul says, I'm freed from sin. We're freed from sin. Every Christian is freed from sin. But now here's the rub. Okay, that's what it says on paper. But what about my life? What about practice? How does that work in practice? Because, man, I sure don't feel like I'm dead to sin. A true disciple still experiences the presence and the pull of sin. You can be a true disciple and you still experience the presence of sin. We're not, heaven is where you are taken away from the presence of sin. We still live in the presence of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin as a believer. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm died, my life is hidden with Christ in God, and sin no longer has dominion over me, but I still deal with sin. I still struggle with sin. You know, we sometimes sing that song, In the Sweet By and By. But what about in the struggle now and now? How do you do in the struggle now and now? Because in the sweet by and by, we're not going to have to struggle with sin. But right now, I live in a fallen world, and there are temptations that come into my life, just as there are temptations that come into your life. And how do we have victory over those so it's not just on paper? That we can't just say, well, Romans 6 says I'm dead to sin, but sure don't feel like I'm dead to sin. And so I guess it's just for other people, it's not for me. Paul said this, Romans 7. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. That's what Paul said. After he was saved, Romans 6, I'm dead to sin. Romans 7, I'm still struggling with sin. Man, it's still there. It's still working on me. I have a new nature, and I'm dead to sin, but sin is still in my members, as he describes it. There's still this pull of the flesh that wants to do evil. And then he goes on to Romans 8 and says, but praise God, I can walk in the power of the Spirit. And that's how he has victory, and that's how you and I have victory. Praise the Lord. That's good. Now, a true disciple walks in victory by walking in the truth. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free. The only way to have victory in practice, so it's not just on paper, to have victory in practice is you have to apply the truth to your life. You have to know the truth, and you have to walk in the truth. Psalm 15. Says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. So critical to do that. You know why? Because the natural flow of life will get you to believe a lie. The natural, everything is coming against you as a Christian. The Bible says that as we grow as a Christian, it's the narrow road that leads to life. And where is the narrow road? The narrow road, as one preacher described, comes right up through the gut of the broad road that leads to destruction. And there's a current that pushes us back. If you try and coast in the Christian life, you'll never stay in the same spot. You'll go backward. Why? Because there is a current of evil that comes against you and that comes against me. So we have to push forward in the truth, so that we can live in victory every single day, so that we can experience the thrill of victory and not constantly experience the agony of defeat. I was reading a book this past week, and in the book, the author was talking about his dad, who's a pastor. And he said, my dad told me about a story. He was preaching in Panama when he was a young pastor. He was preaching at a little church 3-day revival. And he said, a woman came up at the invitation time after he gave his message, and she said to him, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. Pray that God would clear out the cobwebs in my life. And so he prayed, and he said, God, this woman wants to walk with you. She wants to please you. Please clear out the cobwebs in her life. Prayed for her. Second night. Preaches, gives the invitation. Same woman comes forward. She said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me that God would clear out the cobwebs in my life. He said, well, we prayed for that yesterday. She said, I know, but I just need you to pray that same prayer. So he prayed again. God, this woman wants to walk with you. Please clear out the cobwebs in her life. Third night of the revival. He preaches. She comes forward. She says, I need you to pray for me that God would clear out the cobwebs in my life. And he said, no, I'm not going to pray that. He said, we don't need to keep praying for God to clear out the cobwebs in your life. What we need to pray for is for God to kill the spider. See, here's what happens in your life and my life. You know, I said that my Bible study teacher, David Ferguson, said it's almost like we have a handle on our back and the devil can shake us and pull us down in the same sin, same sin, same sin. And we all the time are we're going after the cobwebs. We're going after the symptoms and we miss the source. Why is it that so many people are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to pornography, addicted to bitterness, so to speak, always upset about something, addicted to food, addicted to worry and fretting and not trusting the Lord, so insecure? What is it? Is it the cobweb or is it something deeper? There's a spider of lies that spins the cobweb. And we need to find the spider and put the spider to death, and you kill the spider with truth. And so I want to share with you five truths that are so critical, so foundational for you to believe, for me to believe in order to walk in victory, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Truth number one, God's love for you is not based on your performance. It's not based on your performance. So often we think that, you know, God loves me if I'm doing right. But if I'm doing wrong, then he doesn't love me. You've heard me say before, we have a daisy theology. When I was a kid growing up, we would, if we liked a girl, we would pull out a little flower and we'd pull off the petals. And what would we say? She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. And you hope to get to the last one. Ah, she loves me. Maybe I'll write her a note or kick her. You know, I mean, you're a little kid. So that's how you showed a girl you liked her, you know. We do that with the Lord. And we say, well, I'm doing good today. He loves me. Man, I messed up. He doesn't love me anymore. He loves me not. Oh, but then the next day I did something good. He loves me, but then I messed up again. He loves me not. And we live on this roller coaster of God's love. He loves me. He doesn't love me. He loves me. He doesn't love me. Listen, God loves you because he's chosen to love you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And it doesn't matter how you perform. He just loves you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, you talk about bad performance. You're a sinner. You're separated from God, and God demonstrates his love toward you in that he sent his son to die for you. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the lie is I have to perform for God to love me. And when you live on that kind of a performance treadmill, man, your life is just constantly going up and down. And you will experience so much defeat and so much discouragement. Second truth, God's acceptance for you is not based on your performance. See, those are, they kind of go hand in hand. God's love for me, God's acceptance of me. And we have the same idea. Well, God accepts me when I'm doing well. He doesn't accept me, doesn't love me, doesn't accept me if I'm not doing well. If my mind's in the gutter, if I'm in a fight with my wife, if I fell in this area or fell in that area or fell in the other area, well, then God doesn't accept me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, the scripture says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Jesus. And the moment that you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, God accepts you. And you're accepted in the beloved because you're in Christ. And God accepts Christ. He accepted Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And if I am in Christ, then I am accepted in the beloved. And what the Father said about Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him, then I'm in that. And I am his beloved Son, not in the sense of Jesus, but I am in his beloved Son. And the Lord is pleased with me, maybe not with what I am doing at the moment, but he's pleased with me as a person, just like with our kids. We are pleased with our kids because they're our kids. And even when they're messing up, we still love them and we still accept them as our children. And God does the same for us. Now, you know what I found? Those two things are so huge and so critical to understand that God loves you, to understand that God accepts you. And here's what I've found. If in your past you've experienced abuse, abandonment, rejection, you have a hard time with believing that God loves you, not based on performance. And God accepts you not based on performance. You know why? Because you feel less than inside. You feel that there's something wrong with you. You know how sometimes you see a football game and you see some football player make a big play, and you know what he does after he makes a big play so often? He does that. You know, like, I'm Superman, I'm pulling my shirt off to show you that there's a big S that says Superman. You know what is going on in the mind of the person who's been sexually abused, person who's been rejected, person who's been abandoned? They pull their shirt and there's a big S, and it says shame. Shame. I'm not Superman, I'm shameful man. And how could God want to have a relationship with me? How could he accept me? How could he love me? And then we feel like we're less than. We're Hester Prynne from the Scarlet Letter, and we have a big scarlet A on our chest, and we feel less than. And we don't measure up. We're second-class Christians. There's just no way. And so I had to work and work and work and work, and maybe then God will accept me. That's a lie. God accepts you the moment you accept Jesus. God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you did. You know, it's really true. People who feel trashy inside, they do trashy things. Why? Because I feel like a piece of trash. And if I feel like a piece of trash, then it's very easy for me to do trashy things, because the devil will say, well, that's just who you are. And so it just kind of fits together like a hand in a glove, and we believe his lies. That's the way it is for so many people. And they say, no way can God love me. No way could God accept me. But listen, you're accepted in the beloved, and God loves you with an everlasting love. And the truth kills the spider. Third truth, God's forgiveness of your sins is complete and total. Complete forgiveness, total forgiveness. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from A-L-L, all unrighteousness. Acts chapter 10, verse 15, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Some of you are haunted by the ghost of guilt from something that you did last week, last month, last year, last summer, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, and the devil takes it and beats you up with that. Yeah, but look what you did. You had an abortion. You did this, you did that, you did the other, and you're just beaten down with guilt, and there's no way, he says to you, there's no way God can forgive you for that. But that's a lie. That's a lie. And what we need to do is quit elevating our sin over God's Son. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, what did he say as he was dying on the cross? It is finished, paid in full, and his blood washes whiter than snow. You can walk in forgiveness. I love it in Luke 7 when he tells the prostitute, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Truth number four, God's will and ways are good and his grace is sufficient. We say with the people of Israel, the way of the Lord is not right. And God says, are my ways not right? No, it's your ways that are not right. And we think and we believe the lie of the devil that, man, we're going to have fun if we go our way, but we're going to really put our life on the shelf if we go God's way. Here's the truth. God's ways are right. His will is good for your life and his grace is sufficient. Now, when you go through hard times in life, when the bottom drops out in life, the devil really moves in. And he'll tell you, you need to forget this Christianity stuff. You need to forget trusting in God, because look where that's gotten you. I told you about the article that I did, A New Normal. And I got this response from a man named Jim. He said, you want some feedback? How about this? I was blessed financially and now near broke. My wife was diagnosed with MS. We were forced to sell our house to move into a smaller one. I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy and now have a collapsed left ankle. My business has suffered and now I'm looking at a third of my former income. My mom passed away in January after fading away with dementia. My wife and I had our 38th wedding anniversary yesterday, but we couldn't celebrate because her left knee is so painful and swollen she can hardly walk. We wonder what the future has in store for us now. I trust Jesus and ask him, why this way? Why all the suffering for my wife and me? Why do we never get a break? Why does it seem like all the evil in the world has taken over? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? I humble myself before him and ask why, but he doesn't seem to answer. I guess one day I'll find out. I guess I have to continue to trust and be patient. I know there are those who are suffering and are worse off than I am. I just wish this would all change. God can do it in the blink of an eye, yet he's letting our world go completely insane. Why? Have a great day, Jim. That was kind of funny how he ended that. But hey, in the midst of your suffering, it's easy to lash out at God and say God's not good and his way's not good. Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, he didn't want the thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. He prayed three times that the Lord would take it away from him. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ would dwell in me. Hey, what's the truth? No matter what you're going through in life, God is good, God loves you, and his grace is sufficient for your every need. Keep going God's way. Keep waiting for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Just wait for the Lord. And then fifthly, truth. God's Spirit will never leave you, and he will lead you. He'll never leave you, and he will lead you. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We can be led by the Spirit. We don't have to do this. I don't have what it takes to live a victorious Christian life. He does. And he says, Jeff, if you'll just get out of the way, if you'll just yield yourself to me, then I'll live it through you. If you'll walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh is pulling, saying, we want to do this. We want to go to this sin. We want to participate in this activity. And the Spirit is saying, we need to soar with Jesus. We need to go the Lord's way. On our minds in the truth, or we can just kind of float along and get pushed back in the lies. Listen, aren't you tired of going after cobwebs? You kill the spider with truth. You say, Lord, you promised and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And God, I want to be free. I want to be free from the handle on my back. I want to be free from falling and falling and falling and falling in the same sin, same sin, same sin. God, I want to have victory. And I don't want it to just be on paper. I want it to be in practice in my life. And that can happen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The heart of our Heavenly Father is tender toward his children, and his face is toward you right now. No matter what besetting sin has caused you to continually experience the agony of defeat, you are precious to God, and he loves you so very much that he's willing to see you through to victory. Our prayer from his heart is that you may be comforted by God, knowing that he does love you, he knows you, and he wants you to trust him with everything. In that truth, you will find strength. The lesson today was part two of the message, Victory or Defeat, from Pastor Jeff's 8-message series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. Now, if you're facing defeat every day, it may be because you're letting the devil have control of your thoughts and your actions. Do you know how to defeat him in the battle every minute of every day? Well, this series, Fake News, that we've been airing so far this month, is a series that will help you. It's our thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. Everything you give goes to help us get these programs on hundreds of stations and in over 180 countries every single day. So thank you for what you do to help us dispel the lies of the devil each day. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE to get your copy. 866-40-BIBLE. Again, 8 messages in the format of your choice. Or go to fromhisheart.org. Well, that's all for today. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and we trust you'll be here next time when Pastor Jeff continues his fake news series by opening up the Word of God and sharing real truth, real love, and real hope from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.